Amanda before you leave tonight if you'd see me about our missionary friends, okay? You see Brother Tim and Miss Brenda, they're way on the back there tonight. Hope you had a great trip this weekend. Well, the book of Acts, chapter number 1 this evening, and we're going to stand in honor of the reading of two verses. If you can and will tonight, if you're able to stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, their world just changed. Our world's going to change when we go up with him one morning. Won't that be a blessing? Boy, I tell you, won't that be a blessing? If you're not saved tonight, get saved. It's not long. We're going home. And they went up. And the Bible said, Behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. And that's what they said. You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Ain't you glad it's just one? Which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Thank y'all for standing tonight. You may be seated. Father, we love you and we want to thank you for your presence here this evening. Lord, families that their hearts are torn. I wouldn't be much of a pastor, a preacher, if my heart didn't turn toward them tonight. And I want to pray that, Lord, you help in hand and be about them. God, about their home. God, their needs and their lives. Many needs here tonight. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help me, God, to teach and preach the things that you showed me and I've studied today. Help me to be a blessing here to your people tonight. Pray for this missionary family, God, the Yarboroughs. We pray you'd bless them. Help them as they leave this country going to another. I pray you'd protect their little children and, Lord, the child in her womb tonight. I pray your hand would be about that. Lord, you'd give them a healthy child. You'd protect them. Give them direction. Give them unction. And I pray you'd let our church be a blessing tonight. Help us now. We'll be grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We've started a series on the church. I think it's a lot of confusion in the day and hour we live concerning that of the church. And certainly the reason I think it's a lot of confusion about it is because church means called out ones. It's supposed to look different than what the world looks like. And Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now we're to be a light in the world. We're not to be of the world. And we're not to be in the world's methods and the world's manners. And this Bible is our rule of order to live by. George Washington, I hear that he was a pretty successful leader. And he said that anything that is not governed by the Bible should not be governed. And I believe that. You know, I even tried to lead in the corporate world by the Bible standards. And Brother David, it worked for me. Ask Brother Vince. There he says, there was a Bible on my desk. And people began to get Bibles on their desk. And now I understand 6 years, you can't find a Bible on the 20 acres. But that's neither here nor there. I can't help what they're doing there. I just got something to say about what we do here. And so I think it's a lot of confusion about the church, but we talked about the beginning of the church. In the mind of God, He had the church on His mind before the foundation of the world, because the Bible said that as a lamb slain before the foundation, God seen giving His Son for us. He knew all about the plans of Israel. And aren't you glad that He turned to the Gentile nation through the preaching of Peter and Paul? Paul being an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter, that sheet was held down to him and give him new light. Said, look, this gospel's for everybody, just not for the Jews. And it tore the folks in Judaism up. I mean, it just rocked their world. And so we see the beginning of the church. God had that on His mind before the world ever began. God's seen me. The foreknowledge of God is amazing. God is sovereign. And God rules and orders the affair of men. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And I'll be honest with you, pastoring, I've often wondered, well, God, how can this be anything good about it? And while it's going on, a lot of times we wonder, well, God, what good could this come through this? But we've got a promise of the Word of God that there's something good going to come out of it. I'll be honest, one of the greatest ladies I've ever met sitting here in this church tonight, Miss Flo, she won't mind me saying this. Her husband was a deacon here, one of the finest men I've ever met. He went over and asked me one Sunday morning. I told a man another week about it. He'd come. This is what he said in my chair one Sunday morning. This was the word, Pastor, can I do anything for you this week? And I said, no, Brother John, everything's handled. He went right there and sat where Brother Jason sitting. And left this world, met God in Sunday school. Now, they ain't a finer couple in our church than them two. I mean, look in the closets. You won't find none no finer. I don't understand them things. God's got a plan. And you've got to trust Him through that plan. Because our God's so good, He makes no mistake. And we got to trust Him. And that's why we need to be here on a Wednesday night to see what our Bible says, to learn more about the doctrines of what He's laid down for us to know. And so the beginning of that early church, God had that on the mind. Then we talked last week about the building of that early church. And boy, those early church builders, they built on one chief cornerstone, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, if He's holding it all together, it'll work out. And the apostles built upon that and created a foundation that early church in turn turned and built upon. And now for some 2,000 years, this church has been in progress where Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, and I'll build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say the devil wouldn't come again it. He just said the devil won't get the victory at the end of it. And this is the Lord's church. This ain't our church. This just where we come to worship Him. This is the Lord's church. And it's marvelous in our eyes of the Lord's doings. And so we see that they had a great foundation of faith. Man, they built on what Christ taught them to build. And they built it on the Word of God. Then they built it not on the foundation of faith, but they built it on fervency of prayer. You always found this early church doing one thing in common, praying. Praying. And then their fragrance of love. Man, they reached a community. And I'm going to tell you folks at Liberty, we have a lot greater message in this Bible than what these four walls ought to be holding tonight. We ought to be reaching a community. We ought to be soul winners. We ought to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're missing some things, and I'll get on that on down in weeks to come. But I'm going to tell you, the early church had a fire burning for the souls of men. Peter, John said, silver and gold have I none. They was concerned about people. And you know, it ought not be our four no more. And this gospel is powerful tonight. And so we've talked about the beginning of the church and the building of the church. But now tonight I want to be real brief, and I want to teach on this subject on the behavior of the church. Look in Acts 1. Acts chapter number 1. I want you to look in verse number 15 of Acts 1. Verse 15. Oh, excuse me for that. So Acts 1 and 15. In those days, Peter stood up. Now I want you to think about where they are now. In verses 13 In 12 and 14, they've assembled in an upper room. Jesus has left them. Now, he's been telling them he's going to go away now for 3.5 years. He's been saying, I'm leaving. Well, guess what? He did what he said. Guess what? Ain't nothing changed. He's still going to do what he said. He's coming back. And so they've left, and the world's upside down, and so they meet together, 11 apostles. Or the 11 disciples have gathered in this upper room in verse 13. And so Peter stands up and he starts to preach. And he's telling them about some things. And so we find, first of all, now in verse number 12, I want you to look on the behavior of the church. Notice the conduct of their activity. How did they act? What did they do? Well, first of all, they assembled themselves together. You'll notice as soon as Jesus left, in verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. It's from Jerusalem on the Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. So they assembled themselves together. There we find obedience. Now, y'all have got to agree with me about something. Coming to church, it involves obedience. It does not involve an easy street of living. It don't involve convenience. A lot of people come to church by convenience. But let me tell you something. If you ever going to do anything for God, you're going to have to learn that obedience moves the hand of God. And here, they were very obedient. They assembled. Now, I want you to underline this. I want you to hold where we are. But go with me over to Hebrews 10. You've heard this verse a lot, but I want to try to help you with that tonight. Hebrews 10, and underline this. And notice, I believe Paul was writing the book of Hebrews. And whoever wrote it, we know this, that the Holy Ghost ultimately wrote it, Brother Joe. We can split hairs about the author. But we know God wrote it, Brother Lee. Now, this is what he said. He put something in there to help us in Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Now, that's the church. That's not the world. No place will you ever see where the world is ever commanded to come to church. The church is to come to church. The world's, listen, folks, the world's only doing what the world knows to do. We're to be a light in the world and show something different, that they would have a hunger to come to church. And so not forsaking the assembling, that's getting together of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But now watch this. But exhorting one another. Let's just stop right there just a minute. Let's say, now our Wednesday night crowd's weaker than I'd like to see it, but you never hear me. A lady, and she's here tonight, she helped me one time. I was out in her yard, and she was like, Renee, she told me the truth about something. She said, you know, it would really help if you'd just start, you know, helping us that's there and quit worrying about them folks that ain't there. But I still won't preach on it. Amen. But no, I want you to watch this and get the gist of this, because I'm not going to turn the church over because they don't even know of what I've preached. Ain't no sense in me beating you up. We might put one or two in the bank, though. Somebody say amen. You may need it down the road. But watch this. But exhorting one another. Now, Wednesday night crowd, we know it's not where Sunday morning is. God is looks like, it's amazing what God's doing to this ministry. But I want to think about something. What if it was 10 people here tonight? And the people that's so faithful to be here, do you think that encourages people? Exhorting one another. Do you think that encourages a preacher? Now, one reason that we're to get together, watch this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as together as a matter of something, but exhorting one another. I commend, listen here, I commend. We met a lady running about 75 going back to my house a while ago at 7:05. I was coming to prayer room. She's here tonight. Now, and I just made a joke. I told her, and I said, well, where is she headed? She probably done picked up one of them youngins trying to get them back to church and said, you watch, she'll pull in there on two tires in a minute. Well, I commend these young families. You know, my girls brought a light to me the other day. She said, "Daddy, do you know what it is to wrestle two kids in church?" I said, "No, because I beat the far out of y'all." Somebody say amen. No, I didn't say that. That's smart, Ed. I didn't say that. See, I didn't have to worry about it because I was up preaching. Mama was running that end of the pew. Yeah, man. Somebody said amen. But I commend these young families of their dedications of what they're doing to get here on a Wednesday night. And so exhorting, listen, older couple, we ought to be encouraging our young couples. And young couples, we ought to be encouraging the older couples. You'll get up one morning, your shatters are hurting too. Amen. Thank God, Brother Lee, heaven ain't, Brother Vince ain't going to be no more nothing in heaven but rejoicing. And so we need to be exhorting one of that word is encouraging. Watch this. I want you to watch this now. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are to get together in an assembly not only to worship God but to encourage one another in these last days. Because I'm going to tell you, outside these walls is the real deal. And we need to be encouraged. And when somebody makes a mistake, we need to teach them to get up and dust off and keep moving on for the glory of God. Encourage. We don't shoot our wounded. We try to help our wounded. And so we got. I want you to underline that verse, and I want you to live by and think about it. Now, if I miss church tonight, I might discourage somebody. And this is what the devil tell you. Well, it don't matter if I'm married or not. Yes, it does matter. It sure does matter. Not only do you get some help for your life, for your children. Well, I ain't got no children. Well, you can get some help for that bad attitude you got. Amen. So, now we see they assemble. Remember that, and we find obedience. Now listen, it's hard to be obedient. Because God will require things out of you that's not convenient in order to be obedient. Obedience, not convenient. And so remember that tonight, this behavior of their church, the conduct of activity. They assembled. And then in verses number 12 through 14, not only do you see that they had assembly, but they had a great attendance. And let's look back over that and let's see what happens here. The Bible said they returned to Jerusalem from a mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, 7 days' journey. And they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Now notice Judas Iscariot's not there. He's died. And your opinion's where he went, that's your opinion. I've got mine. But I don't think he's in heaven tonight. But certainly we see their attendance. Now, you'll notice now in verse number 14, there's all together, not only their assembling, their attendance, but look at their agreement in verse 14. These all continued with one accord. They were together. And I'm going to tell you, not only do we find obedience, and we find openness in their attendance, but here in their agreement, we find oneness. Now listen to me. This will help you tonight. Well, it's hard to see someone else's fault if you're practicing the principle of Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you see, in order to practice this oneness, it's hard to see someone else's faults if we're looking unto Jesus. And so if you just keep looking unto Jesus and don't get your faith in man, man will let you down. They always have. Always will. Always. None of us are perfect. It don't give us no license to sin. I still believe that holiness is a part of the church's everyday living, that we should practice and keep ourselves filled with the Spirit of God. Then I'm going to tell you tonight, if we're looking unto Jesus, then we will not see nobody else's faults and mistakes. But not only their assembly, their attendance, and their agreement, but look at their activity. In verse 14, they've caught themselves up in something that gives them power. and that will only give power, and that is the topic of prayer. You'll notice these all continue one accord in prayer and supplication. And look now, they had mixed praying. They let the women be involved with the women. And they didn't make the women leave. They invited them to participate in praying. Okay? I just don't think none of the women stood up and preached to them. Now they prayed. Now watch this. These all continue one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I want to say this. They prayed with Mary, not to Mary. Underline that little nugget in your Bible. You know, it's so much you'd find out if you read the Bible. They didn't pray to Mary. They prayed with Mary. And so we see the conduct of their activity. And then secondly, not only the conduct of activity, but now we see the consulting of an absence. Judas Iscariot has died. He's betrayed the Lord now. And so we find, pick it up in verse 15, and we say, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of them names were together was about 120. Now that's a pretty good sized church that the Lord's got a stat. There's 120 people here together. Okay? And if you take those disciples, it could be a few more of that. But anyway, we know we've got a good group of people there. Now look what happens. He said, men and brethren, the Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of our ministry. And now this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field's called in that proper tongue, Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and take his bishopric, let another take. Wherefore, these men which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in out among us, beginning from his baptism till his resurrection. He says in verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph and Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. They prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave therefore lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, the consulting of his absence. They had Judas Iscariot. He had taken, and you'll notice in verse 17, we see his fame. He was numbered with them and obtained part of their ministry. Now here, he was one of the handpicked of the Lord. And you remember when Jesus was there at a supper, he looked and he said, one of you shall betray me. And they were so close. Brother Joe, they were so close that they looked at themselves and says, is it I? And so we see not only his fame, but his folly in verse 18. He purchased a field with the reward money. Now, you remember, he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. I looked today up at the equivalents of that 30 pieces of silver. And you know what Judas Iscariot sold our Lord out for? For around $400. And I got to thinking, you know, that sure is a little price, but I know some folks have sold him a lot cheaper than that. They sell him for, my lifestyle's more important than Christianity. I work like a dog 6 days a week. I'm going to do it my way on Sunday. And I got to go to the lake, got to go to places, my lake house, my mountain home. I got to enjoy the things God's blessed me with. A lot of people sell him a lot cheaper than $400. But you'll notice their his fame and his folly, and then verse 18, his fall. The Bible said he went and hanged himself, and he fell, and his innards gushed out. And then, of course, his fate. But I want you to notice what they did, and I want you to know what this means. Now, they're replacing one of the 12. Peter, no doubt, he's a leader of those apostles. Peter had no problems getting the ball rolling. And so he stood up and he said, "Now listen, we're going to replace him. And here's two men that we need to replace, and how we're going to do it." Well, you'll notice in verse 26, "And those 11 men gave forth their lots." It's a lot of discrepancy that has been talked about this, but 70 times in the Old Testament you'll find out where they cast lots. This was a way that God made decision for the people in the Old Testament. Now, 70 times in the Old Testament, Brother Duane, is mentioned. But 7 times in the New Testament it is mentioned. And this is the last time it's mentioned. It's never mentioned again. Why? 7's a number of completion, because you'll find in Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost comes and the Holy Ghost comes. And guess what John 16 said? He said, "When He's come, He'll lead and guide you into all truth." Do you remember when Jonah was on board, them men cast lots to see who was the root of the cause? Do you remember Matthew's gospel, that there they cast lots at the feet of the cross to get the garments of Christ? A lot of people say that sometimes it was like rolling dice. It was like laying a number down. But this was God's formula in the Old Testament to give people to know His will. That's the way that they decided what was God's will, by the casting of lots. But we don't have to do that now. And let me warn you about putting fleece out. If fleece don't line up this book, you better leave your fleece in the closet. Because the devil can wet fleece. Now let me tell you how God's people operates now. It's by the leading of the Spirit of God. Look in John 16. Why do you think, church, that we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God? Why do you think He says that? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit can't lead you if you're not filled with Him. Why do you think they said, "Seek ye out the men there filled with the Holy Ghost"? Now, He said this in John 16 and verse number 7. "Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you." Now watch this. "When He's come, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment." Now verse 13. "Now when He," it's not an it. The Spirit of God's not an it. It's not an influence. He's a person. Part of the Godhead. "When He," the Spirit of truth, "is come," look what it says, He will guide you into all truth. Now let me give you some good advice. When in doubt, don't. That's why sometimes it's good that we would fast and pray about a situation. I've heard of preachers that when they felt like that they need to make a big decision in their life, they would go someplace 5 or 6 days and fast. Seek God. Because let me tell you something, friend. The Holy Ghost has never led me wrong. Never. I've made decisions without Him, and I've paid big for it. Go fishing. Well, buddy, you just wear yourself out then, because you're going to catch nothing. But listen to me. We that are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in us. The day we got saved, we were baptized by the Spirit of God in the family of God. Now listen. If you're in tune with God, the Holy Spirit will give you direction. He'll give you freedom in your spirit in order to do something. Yeah, I use the word liberty. If you don't have liberty to do it, leave it alone. When in doubt, don't. I've had people call and ask me, is it okay to wear this to church? If you've got to ask the preacher, you know it ain't right to start with. Huh? So we see how that they conducted their business. But no longer do you ever see that early church casting lots. You look this up, you'll find different opinions of what it was, like I say. But this is the deal. They did something with a number method. And when they cast them in, God showed them some way or another. That was His sign to His people to show them the direction that they were to go. No longer is that gone. You won't find it no more in the Bible. Listen, we're not to go to a soothsayer. We're not to go to a fortune teller. This right here tells me anything that I'll ever... Instead of giving her $20, put it in missions. And listen now, listen. If you got some kind of strange spirit come by talking to you, if it don't line up with this book, count it as the devil. Because God will never do nothing outside this book. Now that's the conduct of their activity, and then that's the consulting of an absence. They replaced Him. And the Bible says, you'll notice there at this text, that they replaced Him with Matthias. Now that gives them 12. There's going to be 13 because Paul became an apostle. So therefore, we go to the third point tonight on the behavior of the church. The conduct of activity, the counsel of absence, but then the consenting of agreement. Look in verse 26. It don't say much, but there's a lot hidden there. Brother Tim, it says this, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, and nothing else is said. But this is what I want to say right here. I want to say, first of all, the consenting of agreement. This shows they had no room for jealousy. If you'll notice this, that they appointed two in verse 23, Barsabbas, that was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Now listen to me, the Barsabbas fan club didn't open their mouth. Oh, he my friend, he didn't get picked. That song later, he don't never sing my friend. That preacher, he don't never preach him. They had no room for jealousy. They had no room for favorites. Corinth did. That's the most worldly church. He said, hey boys, some folks planted, some's water, but you remember this, God always gives increase. They had no room for jealousy. They had no room for favorites. And they had no room for fussing. If you're just going to stir up and fuss, hit the road. You can differ in opinion. It's no problem asking questions. But if you're going to stir you up a little band club, hit the road. I ain't got time for stupid. Amen. Conduct of activity, consulting of absence, the consenting of agreement. Then chapter 4, verse 32, look at their concern for assembly. Their concern for assembly. Boy, I'm going to tell you, this early church was amazing how close they was. And let me tell you something. This status quo ought to not be churchy. It ought to be family. It's no big uns and it's no little uns. Acts 4:32, and the multitude... Now I want to show you something right here. Circle this if you want to. It won't be much longer. Circle this. In Acts 1:15, there was about 120. Pentecost comes. Peter stands up and preaches. Verse 41, the Lord added unto them about 3,000. So we know there's at least about 3,100 and something here together. Now I want to show you how they done things. Ain't ne'er vote been cast yet. Voting's not in your Bible. Turn it upside down, bring it to me. But you won't find it. You know why? Because they had leadership that could be trusted. Leadership that could be trusted. In Acts 4:32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Now, neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. But I want to tell you something right here. They all worked if they could. For as many as possessors of lands and of houses, and I want you to hold with me now, and I want you to watch what happens. They sold them. And they brought the prices of the things that were sold. And look what they done with them. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet. There's 12 of them men. And distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Now we'll stop right there. Now this is where the church has all got out of balance in the day that we live, and it's went back a long time. These apostles found themselves now. They've all of a sudden, God starts dispersing these apostles, which means sent one. The apostles are gone. No more apostles today. God had 13. You had to see the resurrected Lord was a requirement. Paul seen him on the Damascus Road. Made 13. Now watch. God distributed these men, being sent one, establishing churches. And in those churches, they established what we call elders or pastors or overseers. Within those, this is what happened. The church starts growing. And now let's look. See where they were distributing that? Now look in Acts 6. And look what happens. Acts 6. And I want you to learn this. I want you to know one of these days when I'm gone why we believe what we believe. You hear me tonight? Mark your Bibles and don't just say, well, our preacher says so. And don't say, Grandpa says so and I ain't changing. Well, guess what, Jack? Grandpa may not have had to lie about it. And if it ain't in the Bible, you better chunk it. Now watch. Acts 6, that church is growing. It's got up to 3,100. God's adding. They is 12 apostles for 3,100 people. Nervous breakdown. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there's more being brought now. Watch this. Multiplication, and then comes murmuring. And the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrew. They got divided. Because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Now, whether they were or were not, some people thought that there was a group of people in that church it wouldn't be seen about. These disciples, they said, hey, that's too much for us. Look what we need to do. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them. And said, it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Those apostles called them. Those early church pastors. They said, look, we just can't do it all. And I want you to learn, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men that successful in business. No, it don't say that. Pick you out seven men of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost. Watch this. And wisdom Here it is. Whom we may appoint over this business. Circle this business. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. I can tell you a preacher right now that's clashing with his deacon board because the church can afford him to go full time, but they don't understand that concept. That we may give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Don't you never let nobody tell you. Don't you never. And listen, I'm not taking up for me. I ain't taking up for Brother Mike. You know yourself, if we can get there, we're going to come see you. Is that not right? If we can't get there, we're going to get a call to you, get somebody to get there. But don't you let nobody tell you our preacher don't visit. Because it ain't in the Bible. If we won't go by the Bible, I tell you what I'm to do. I'm to keep myself full of God, pray, and preach to you. You not to run me all up and down the road like a hobo. Amen. And nowhere do you see where a New Testament pastor is reporting to a deacon board. They've appointed them men. Now, 1 Timothy, and I'm sure glad my deacons understand that. I've never one time had a need. You know what they say? Hey, buddy, we know what that Bible says. Now, watch this. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 1. Now the church has grown to such a way that they're giving out the requirements for the offices of the church. This is a true saying. If a man, you might ought to underline that. And that ain't no wimp either. You ain't got to be mean, but you ain't got to be gutless. If a man desire the office of a bishop, look this up in the King James. You know what that word bishop means? Overseer. In charge of is what it means. You can't have 6-7 quarterbacks. Watch, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Period. Now, let me ask you this. How can a woman be the husband of one wife? Vigilant, sober, good behavior. Give it a hospitality, apt to teach. Watch this. Not give it a wine. No striker. Now watch this. Verse 8. Likewise must the deacons. Look up that word. Do you know what that word means? Servant. It means minister. Servant. Guess what? They've got to be the husband of one wife too. Likewise. They can't be women deacons. Know what your Bible said. Not just you got a mean preacher. I didn't write this. But if God give me grace, I'm going to stand on it till we go to the house. And just because the world's turned to the church and church turned to the world don't mean our church has to follow suit. Am I teaching right? Now they're concerned for the assembly. The boy said, listen, guys, we just can't, you know, we can't do all this. And I want to say this right here. We've got three deacons. What do y'all think we preach to here on Sunday morning? I ain't counting. But I want to say something right this right here on their account. Never one time have these men, ever three, these, never one time. And when Brother Mike was one, that's never one time have they ever outstepped their place in their authority in this church. And you ought to thank God for the men you've got. But you listen to me. These three men, they can't see about 350 people. Can't do it. You're going to have help. One lady over the food ministry, she's got to have all the ladies. Oh, don't call on me. I can't cook. Go buy something. That's why something's open. Go buy something. The concern for their assembly. And I'm going to say this right here before I move any further, and I'm going to make this statement, because I ain't got 5 more minutes. A pastor that's filled with God and will mind him don't get to make decisions either. He don't get to do things his way. He's got to make decisions for the welfare of this flock with the whole picture in mind. That's not one family. The whole picture in mind. If we allow this, what happens everywhere? Concern for the assembly. I love what they've seen about each other. Acts 4:32. And now I've got to get to this. I could just labor there and go on. Now, they laid them down at the apostles' feet, verse 35 of Acts 4. Distribution was made. And look what happens in verse 36. And Joseph, or Barnabas, having land sold, it brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Woohoo! Woohoo! Big offering. Hey man, how'd that offering go from that? It's been being $50. $5. What happened? Oh, Barnabas, man. Y'all didn't hear? Today's guy come by and bought that property. He gave proceeds to the church. Oh, really? Yeah. And there's a fellow over there had some pride about him. He heard it. And he said, I ain't going to let him outdo me, you know. I'm known for all that. Look what happens. Well, the Bible said, verse 1 of chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price of his wife, also being privy to it. Brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now watch Peter. Some of y'all couldn't handle him being your pastor. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy? Boy, you talking about a man filled with God, son. He'd look at you. Hey, Brother Jay, he'd be like Edgar Thomas looking at you right in the eyeballs. He'd walk in and say, what you doing smoking that weed Thursday night? Why'd you talk ugly to your wife Saturday night? God showed these men things. And He still shows these men things. Peter said, why? Whiles it remained, verse 4. He said, this thing you put in your heart, and thou hast not lied to men, but you've lied to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and he gave up the ghost. He died. Died right there in their assembly. And look what they done. And the young men, verse 6, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And let me go and tell you, burying is Christian. Don't y'all let nobody incinerate me. You can do that what you want. I won't be buried out you under them pines if Jesus don't come. When I get up out of there, we'll sail out across this steeple and cry, hallelujah to the King. Watch this now. So his wife shows up. Verse 7, about the space of 3 hours. This is what one writer said today. Said, I tell you why she didn't come in with him. Because when he come in, laid that big offering down, everybody's saying they patted on his back. When she come in, she wanted the escalades too. See, they wanted to double dip in applause. she come in a little later. Boy, Peter had her number. And so Peter answered and said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for much." She said, "Yeah." Peter said to her, "How is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are out the door, and they fix and carry you out, young lady." She fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Watch this now, verse 11, I'm through. "And great fear came on all the church and upon as many as heard these things." Not on the concern for that assembly, you'll notice the fear fell in that community, and respect for the church was different than it is in this day and hour. I'm going to tell you something. God meant business then, He means business now. And don't you think one second we're fooling Him with nothing we tell Him or nothing we do, and He knows all about it. And I'm glad we serve a God that's full of grace and compassion and love and mercy. But I'm going to tell you something. They went out and buried them folks, and they was more interested in what was going on the inside than what there was on the outside. Now hear me and hear me loud. We got one of the greatest opportunities in the day we live to minister to people and do right. God expects us to be a light. God expects our church to be different. Have you noticed on that screen, there's a sign on top that says, "Home of Old Time Religion"? I mean that. It's where the Savior is exalted, where the saints of God are loved on, where the sinner is welcome and the gospel's preached to. Listen, just because somebody don't look like us, that don't mean they're not welcome in our church. They big in God's eyes, and they ought to be big to us. And every one of us ought to make, every one of us ought to determine in our heart every Sunday morning when a new family comes in this ministry that we come by personally and welcome them to this assembly. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Stand with me. Appreciate you very much. I'm glad we got a Bible that can guide us.